promised land if they live righteously. It is time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It is I guess we would call it a limited series, a special editions, plural.
Maybe limited. Maybe it'll go on for, maybe we don't know how long it'll go on.
Well, it may be seasonal, as they promised that they are going to continue to be changing, updating, and including more songs in the hymnal for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It is a Hear Him episode of the Cultural Hall.
Hear Him 2.0. This is the updated, more, I don't know, what the better, this the updated, better version of Hear Him.
It is interactive. It is timely as we talk about the updates to the hymnal. It is speculative.
Yep. It's not going to be just me droning on about old hymns and then why I like them, but it'll be a little bit of that, but
well,
it won't be just
so. I hope so. It will also be me going, what do you think about this? And you going, stupid. And then we move along. So that will be a part of these as well. And they'll be short, a short episode of the Cultural Hall. You already are not believing because of how long this ramp up to the Hear Him is, but
this will be the first one.
If you don't recognize his voice, because he's been traveling, it's Mr. Mayor. He and I are going to be exclusively the Hear Him folks, talking about the various hymns and
I think it's been since December since I've been on the hall, so we're talking 4 months, I think.
How dare you? How dare
I know that's the longest time
job. How dare you?
I know it's been awful. I mean, I have traveled a lot. In fact, I promise we're going to do this more, and I'm actually going to carry a microphone with me so that if you ever are listening to this and I am not as nice as this, even though I will carry a nice microphone with me, it's because I'll be in a hotel, because I don't know if there's any way we could do this if I don't. Sometimes record in a hotel.
It's his commitment to the Hear Him. So what this is basically going to be is every Hear Him, there will be a little bit of banter, just like there always is, just like there has been in this one. And then as we find out about the new songs in the hymnal, we will take within each of these episodes an opportunity to say, oh, well, count your many blessings came from a written blah, blah, from this place, and this is why. And it was originally in the, and give you some facts around it. So that's why I say maybe it's sort of a limited series, because I know we're promised 12 songs to be updated in May. So
end of May, like the 26th of May is for sure.
Do we have a specific date on it?
I think so. Let me see. I'll double check. I think it's the 26th of May.
See, and what I got from when they announced it is it's like in May, ? Maybe it's going to come earlier than all that. Maybe it won't necessarily come earlier than all that. But we can do this
episode. May 30th. Sorry, okay. May 30th.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
They'll be available. Okay, so just make sure everyone understands, they're not going to be a new hymn book on May 30th. There are going to be 12 new songs available in the online library and in your gospel library May 30th. And we know, the only one we know, and we'll talk about it more, is Come Thou Fount. Beyond that, everything else we talk about today until May 30th is all speculation.
And then even after the May 30th, we'll continue to roll out episodes, maybe weekly-ish, where we go, today we're talking about Amazing Grace, or are we? We'll talk about that coming up. Or today we're talking about, if you could hike to Kolob. I don't know. Is that a new one? Maybe that will be.
That should be something we should do. What about him? We should make up a bunch of him's names that if you could hike to Kolob, maybe we could do a funny segment like that.
In fact, let's do this call out now. Contact at theculturalhall.com. If you change like one word in one of the hymnals or one of the hymns, I would love to know what song you can create. Like if you could hike to Kolob, that might be a fun thing. Contact at theculturalhall.com. Okay.
Yeah, make them clean. I know we had a few when I was a kid that I can't repeat here. And it's ruined me for life on a few hymns, because every time I sing certain hymns, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, but my friend Kyle and I, doesn't matter, whenever we sing certain hymns, I can't help but think of the bad version that we came up with.
How dare you. I would also welcome misheard lyrics, because I think those are fun as well. Like, I am a child of God, and so my knees are gray. I appreciate that one. So anything like that, contact at theculturalhall.com. Okay, so speculation. We've got, we're recording this at the end of April. We've got essentially 1 month until the actual 12 new additions to the online hymn book come. What is the scuttlebutt, Mr. Mayor?
Well, I think there's a lot of scuttlebutt. Like if there's a great Twitter account, or X account, I guess is the new term for it. Hymnal Watch. Okay. So go ahead and look for that. I actually came across them because of General Conference. I did a lot of the hymn tweeting about hymns during General Conference about what was going on, and they were reaching out to me on there. And so just so you know, Hymnal Watch, that's a great place to go. I've been going to them almost daily since then to see what other people are saying. There is so much of speculation. So I'm going to narrow our speculation today.
Okay.
A little bit. Now we'll try and get into as much speculation as possible. We'll probably get into other topics like speculation about hymns that are not US based or classic Christian hymns or those kinds of things or modern songs that we think might be in there. But today we're going to kind of limit ourselves around to those hymns that were sung in General Conference that weren't already in the LDS hymn book.
Okay.
So we're going to look at those hymns today. We're going to talk through them and whether we think, and I would love feedback from everyone else, contact at theculturalhall.com. What do you think? In fact, maybe we could put a Facebook or a Twitter poll up there.
Absolutely.
Maybe we could do that later. So that might be really kind of fun as a follow-up to this. But starting with that, I'm just going to go in order of when they appeared in General Conference. So we're going to start with one. And the first one, in my opinion, is easy. It's I Know That My Savior Loves Me. It's actually out of the children's songbook.
Okay.
It was written by Tammy Jepson and Dorena Bell. I couldn't find a date of when it was written, but I think they're still alive. And usually what they do is they give you a date based off of someone's passing. So if they're still alive, it's often hard to find the actual date. So
it was written in 2002.
Yeah. Oh,
published in I
looked this morning, couldn't find it. You found it in 30 seconds when I said I couldn't.
It was originally published in The Friend magazine and originally performed at a local steak conference with the children's choir.
So here's something, and this I think is a good one to bring up because I think it'll help with our speculation in the future.
Okay.
I can guarantee this one will be in the new hymn book. Why? Because they have announced as part of the new hymn book, the combining of the children's songbook and the new hymn book. There will not be a separate. And that's why I wanted to that's why I liked starting with this one.
Okay. Because
as we talk through these in the next, we'll kind of see a difference in way we do things. So there will not be a difference. There will be no, I think they'll topically and kind of call certain things out as, hey, this is appropriate for primary. This is, this might be more appropriate for adults. But there will not be a differentiator between hymns for sacrament meeting and hymns for primary. They will all be part of the same group. Again, it'll take a while to get to that because, again, this is rolling out over the next year or so until when did the full published version of the hymn book comes out?
Couple of years,
so,
26, I think, right?
20, yeah, tw- yep. So we've got some time, but I think we can say 100% this one will be in there. Something else to be thought to consider one where we're talking about these hymns is that these hymns there's a bunch of criteria that typically falls into why a hymn may or may not make it in. What would be the difference between a hymn and why it's in a hymn book and kind of like a praise or worship song or just something like that, or just a nice song that we sing? Why would one? And the doctrinal message is a key indicator of what it was. So a nice comforting song may or may not be in there, because if it's not enhancing our doctrinal understanding of that. And then the idea that it needs to be able to be sung as a congregation. So if you think there's some songs that are like, this is great for a solo, but you're not going to have, everyone from primary to your grandmother and grandpa singing this song. So that we can use that as some of the criteria as we look at some of this stuff.
Okay. So that takes us through, I think, the morning session of General Conference Spring 2024, because the morning breaks That's all. That is no or already. I don't know that.
No. It, yeah. The morning breaks is already in there.
Okay. And, did you think to pray is? I know that my Savior loves me is what we just talked about. And then, of course,
the next one anthem. Would be we will sing of Zion.
Oh, hold on. I'm not done with the Saturday morning session. We thank thee, O God, for a prophet. Also already in there. So now we go to Saturday afternoon.
Well, let's stop real quickly on we thank thee, O God, for a prophet. And just use it as a way we might look at some of these hymns, right? Especially outside the church. We thank thee, O God, for a prophet is an interesting thing to consider as we talk about what the speculation might happen, is because the reason we thank thee, O God, for a prophet is named we thank thee, O God, for a prophet is not because that's the general concept of that song. If you ever listen to the lyrics of we thank thee, O God, for a prophet, it's not about prophets, except for that first line.
Sure.
It's all about the restoration of the gospel and how Jesus Christ has restored the gospel in the latter days and extended his atonement to us through the restoring of the gospel. And prophets is just one aspect of it. In fact, it's the first line.
Well,
and
sure, that goes the back next to line the is, we thank thee for sending the gospel to lighten our minds with its rays.
So why do we call it we thank thee, O God, for a prophet? And now become, that's what we sing for everything, even though it's only one line. Well, that's because hymns in the past, and we don't know what they're going to do with this new hymn book, but if hymns in the past, and 1985 hymn book does this mostly, but then also kind of fudges in other songs, like Love at Home is not done this way. But prior to the 1985 hymn book, hymns were arranged by their first lines. So you didn't know them by the title of the song. You knew them by the first line.
Yeah, so Love at Home would have been there is beauty all around.
In fact, if you go to the Brown or the previous hymn book to the 1985 hymn book, it is not called Love at Home. It is called There is Beauty All Around. And it wasn't actually, I don't think it was actually in that hymn book. It was in like a supplemental. And so, yeah, it was called There is Beauty All Around. So you would go to look for Love at Home and you'd be like, where's Love at Home? It's There is Beauty All Around. So keeping that in mind, some of those other hymns kind of, and there's a classic hymn from Greater Christianity that is to the tune of one of the hymns we use has a similar tune. It's called What a Friend I Have in Jesus. And for whatever reason, that seems off-putting to some members, because I think they want to have a more higher that thee thou kind of perspective of of Christ, and that almost feels too familiar, which I disagree with. But What a Friend I Have in Jesus is not about, is partly about that, but that's not the concept of the song. It's about turning our struggles and our lives over to Jesus. And so the title doesn't actually exude what the hymn will be. So anyway, point being, it'll be interesting to see what happens when they bring the new hymn book out, because are they going to use first lines and titles? Or are they going to come up, are they going to have a mix of both? Because historically, we wouldn't know anything different than calling it we thank thee, O God, for a prophet, right?
So anyway, what your speculation is, we sure are grateful for the restoration. Everyone turned to 342,
and no one would know what it is.
Grateful,
right?
For the restoration, and we're like, we thank thee. Oh, wait, the what the hold on, we just changed the name of this.
Yeah, so I doubt that they'll do that. They'll probably take whatever they call it historically, but it'll be interesting. Anything new? What will they do with the new hymns? Will they kind of lean towards the first lines and titles? Or will they come up with like the actual title of the song? Will they use the tune name? Will they use the lyrics? And so that's the other thing, is often the lyrics have a name to it, like a poem. I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day is not called I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. It's called Christmas Bells. That's Henry. If you want to find the original poem that it was brought up, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote a poem called Christmas Bells.
Sure.
And that's what we know, that I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Anyway, this is just a lot of me being geeky to tell you that there's a lot of things we'll as we look, as it gets released, that we'll be talking about. We'll be like identifying, oh, this is the title. This was sung this way. Anyway.
Okay. So Saturday afternoon session, all glory, loud and honor. Already in?
That's in. Already in. Yep.
God loved us, so he sent his son. That one's already in.
That's in there. Absolutely.
How great the wisdom and the love.
Yep. In there.
And we will sing of Zion.
That one is not in there.
Okay.
Yet there probably is a high probability that it could be. It's not ever been in an LDS hymn book.
Okay.
The information, I couldn't get deeper information about the author. Now, I did a very cursory look on this one because I was pulling a bunch of them together. But I would say there's a moderate chance that it would be in there.
Now, hold on. Before we go any further, We Will Sing of Zion is hymn number 47 in the 1985 edition of the hymn book.
No, it isn't.
That's what it says. That's what Google
Okay.
tells me.
Okay, well, I'm wrong then.
Uh-oh. Sorry about
I'm
that.
gonna be. You
Sorry
just
about that.
screwed me up. No,
Well, no,
not a
listen, we
problem.
just got to make sure we pay that much attention. If we are going to be the Hear Him
Absolutely. No, we got to get in there good.
aficionados. Okay. All right. So
So we will sing of
then.
Zion. I gotta correct that. Sorry about that.
Already in and good. So now we go to the Saturday evening session. The Lord is my light. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Okay. And then we go, oh, what songs of the heart?
Oh, what songs are the? I don't.
I'm not sure about that one. Are you, do you know? Now you're questioning everything you ever
Now I'm
knew.
questioning everything I did. Yeah. What songs of the
I've
heart is
got it.
286? It's
Yep. Okay.
286. Yep.
That one's already in as well. Count Your Blessings, of course, but then the big
Yep.
one that everyone has been talking about, because
Oh,
the
yeah.
tabernacle, or I'm sorry, the the Tabernacle Choir, Temple Square, has sung a multitude of times, but is not in the hymnal "Amazing Grace."
That's right. And it's the first time it's ever been sung in general conference. So even though the Tabernacle Choir has sang it, they've had and there are several sources for this. I know this one. I actually spent time on this one. It's never been sung in general conference. That doesn't mean the Tabernacle Choir hasn't ever sung. In fact, they
Sure.
have a CD release called Amazing Grace. So this is an interesting. If you go to the Reddit pages on this one, there's some interesting stories about people kind of overshooting the mark on why this was or was not. Now, everything from people saying it was removed from it's not something that they wanted in the 85 hymn book because it was too much on the grace side, and we are a works-based church, which I think we need to go back and have a conversation with what our theology is on that, if that's what you think is true, because there is no works you can do to save yourself. We can have a whole doctrinal conversation on that. So grace is absolutely part of what we need to do. But I think that that theology, there are people who speculate to a degree that Amazing Grace was taken out because they didn't want that in there. And other places, and I can't verify any of these, so if anyone knows this stuff, I'd love to know. But there's other speculation that it was an accident that it didn't make it into 1985, that it was completely not intended, but then once they started moved into publication, that it was not. And I don't see that being the case either. So my guess is the 1985 book, and again, I think we can probably assume some things, but some things are cultural legend, but they had a lot of choices to make for 1985, and they didn't have as much. They had to print one book, right? And it was the one book for everything, and they didn't have the ability to maybe expand that out, so they had to like choose, right? And so I think Amazing Grace just kind of just fell out of the top ones in place for one of the things I know that they were doing in the 1985. They were trying to promote songs, first of all, that taught our theology, but also songs written by LDS members, right? And so there was a lot of hymns like I Am a Child of God that were definitely part of the 1985 book that maybe Amazing Grace fell out because, again, I think they were trying to promote the LDS people who are writing these songs to a degree, not 100%, but I think some of those things. And so when you get to those final stages, something has to fall out. And I think that's what happened with Amazing Grace.
Well,
It is an interesting conversation about the theology, though.
Two things that I'm realizing about this conversation. One is that I don't think we're going to talk about Come Thou Font or Fount. I always say font because I love the joke. I don't think we're going to talk about Come Thou Fount in this episode because we're
No.
trying to keep these shorter. And there's also controversy around Amazing Grace because the author, John Newton, was a former slave trader and a ship captain who later became a preacher, and some say that the song's conversion narrative is difficult to take seriously because it's about an evil person who atoned for their sins. So,
but I think we should have a, so yes, let's do another segment where we just talk about Come Thou Fount, and then we can do another one where just about Amazing Grace.
Well, if Amazing Grace makes it in, because we can talk about all the hymns for all the days.
Well, I think we should talk about Amazing Grace prior to the May 30th, because it's all speculation between now. Yep. So we're using this opportunity for speculation. And I think we should talk about it in the context of speculation.
Okay.
Between now and May 30th. So let's do that. Let's take an episode where we just talk about Amazing Grace.
Well, geez, because that's a whole thing. Okay. All right.
Absolutely. Because we can talk about the history of it. We can talk about where it comes from, but we can also talk about the LDS doctrine that some people think. I read someone on Reddit posted that their mission president had this whole dissertation on why Amazing Grace was preaching the doctrine of the devil.
Well, all right. Okay.
So that's one person. They're like, so there's a lot of controversy around it. There's
okay. Okay. Concept. All right.
So we can spend a lot of time on it. So,
okay. So this, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the speculation and the remaining sessions of General Conference. We'll get to the Sunday session after a quick break and then get to the second half of the Hear Him.
Hi friends, Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. You can get a brand new PC Laptops desktop and they start at only $29 a month. And it comes with a lifetime warranty. Just check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com.
BestDJInUtah.com is the website. That is where you go if you would like me to come and DJ your event. Now, will I do a family reunion where you all wear the same t-shirts? You bet I will. Will I travel to wherever you're at? Uh-huh. Am I reasonable as far as what I cost? Yes. Yes. Do I bring a good time? Yeah, all the things. Listen, Best DJ in Utah, it's my company. It's a thing I do that allows me to be able to have the time to do the cultural hall. So if someone's getting married, you think, man, they need a great DJ. You're throwing a party, whether it's a 50th or 60th or 40th or 20th or whatever the party is. I've done them all and would love to be able to do that. An anniversary party, certainly done those. I did a baptism in 2023. Yeah, we did a big dance party at a baptism. Spoiler, not a Mormon baptism, but it was fun nonetheless. BestDJInUtah.com is a website. I will get back to you within 24 hours with a quote. Come on now. BestDJInUtah.com.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Here in the second half of our Hear Him speculation, hey, will those songs from General Conference be in the new hymn book? We go to the Sunday morning session. Come ye children of the Lord. That's already in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Come ye children. That's a great one. That's if your voice isn't quite warmed up, you can bellow that one out. Then we get to A Child's Prayer, which is from the
children's songbook. Yep.
And is this the one that's the Heavenly Father and then it's divided? Oh my gosh, it's a great one. It's
a great one. And again, guaranteed that one will be in there in the hymn book because we know that they're combining those two.
But are we counting those ones that we like, A Child's Prayer?
No, normally. I know that My Savior Lives because I wanted to highlight the fact that they are going to be combined in the
same.
Okay. I just wondered, moving ahead, yeah, we shouldn't need to worry about that.
But do you think that with these 12 that are announced that they're going to be like, oh yeah, Child's Prayer is one of them? Or do you think these are going to be 12 like international?
They'll be new ones. They won't be. Yeah. I don't think they're going to pull that because they've already announced that the children's songs and the hymns are coming. So you can just assume that. So there'll be 12 new ones. Now that they may be is 12 various ones from either from around the world or whatever. And they may be children specific songs that you would typically sing in primary that are going to be included in it, but they'll be new ones. They won't be ones we already have.
You know, in my heart of hearts, I really would just love the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square singing, follow the prophet, follow
I totally agree.
You know,
and stomping around.
Yeah.
They should like do like a choreography.
Yeah, and different like, sections. Follow. The Sopranos. Yeah. Hinckley was a prophet.
Someone should write that where they have like what do you would call it? A round where or a discant where one section singing about one prophet, one section singing about the other one.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Get on that, Mac Wilberg. Get on that. Come on,
Ryan Murphy. Let's go. That's going to be under the Murphy tenure. Okay, we're getting super nerdy now. Okay, so Sunday morning, coming to the children of the Lord, child of prayer. His eye is on the sparrow. That's not correct.
That absolutely is not. And this is one that be interesting if it makes it, because it's very much a wonderful comforting hymn. It would probably fall into the category of like, be still my soul, right? You could make an argument that Be Still My Soul doesn't spend a lot of time talking about doctrine, other than the doctrine that, you know, my soul can be, the doctrine of the atonement comforting us and Jesus Christ to be in there for us, which is absolutely a doctrine. But it doesn't teach anything deeper or anything else. And sometimes hymns need to do that. His Eye on the Sparrow falls into that category. I think it's one of the most beautiful songs in the Christian hymn. Of the classic Christian hymns. And it was written in 1905 by Sevilla Martin and Charles H. Gabriel. I think that there's a moderate chance of it. This is the type of thing that I think could be an influence by Mac Wilberg. Mac Wilberg has proven to be a great advocate for certain songs. And that's what we'll talk about a little bit more in the Come Thou Fount section. Come Thou Fount definitely fell out of the church, and I don't want to spend too much on that because we have that whole section. Fell out of the hymn book, and will likely be back into it. We'll talk in deeper. His Eye on the Sparrow kind of falls in that category. There's another one. Again, we'll talk deeper on another speculation. It Is Well With My Soul that Mac Wilberg brought back into the LDS community. Had been around before that, but had kind of fallen out because it wasn't in the 1985. Hymn book. He kind of brought it back out as part of the Christmas program. Mormon Tabernacle Choir, the Tabernacle Choir, Temple Square, did one of their Christmas with Hugh Bonneville, where they did a reading. Their story that year was all about the story of It Is Well With My Soul, and His Eye on the Sparrow could fall into that category where Mac Wilberg is like, hey, identified. This is one that while maybe it doesn't get deep into it, sometimes you don't want deep theology in all your hymns. You need songs to sing at times of comfort, and they need to be in that as well. So I think His Eye on the Sparrow has a moderate to moderately high chance of making it in.
Well, and I think its popularity outside of the LDS churches is a reason why it too to be there, right? So if I'm visiting a church and, you know, we sing this song, I go, oh, something familiar, right? Doctrinally, okay, all of the discussion that you had, all these other things, but to be able to be like, oh, hey, I know that one.
You know, that's not a bad comment because, you know, we are a missionary church, right? Mm-hmm. When people come into our fold to say, so, you know, to come visit us, they want to have some things that they know is different and new. Like you might have the Iron Rod song,
sure,
but you need to have something familiar, something to grasp. And I think that's true with hymns. And this would fall into that category as well.
I don't want to talk too much about it because I do think this will be one that's in, but if you're looking for a great rendition of this song, Sister Act 2, you can see Lauryn Hill and Tanya, somebody or whatever, do a great version of this. Whitney Houston does a version of this as well. And so I definitely think
this is a wonderful song.
Yeah. This reaches.
And then the last one. Keep going. The last
okay,
one.
Okay. Yeah. List. So we got His Eye on the Spirit. Lord, I would follow thee. That's already in the hymnal. So now we get to Sunday afternoon. I'll work backwards because Now Let Us Rejoice. That's already in there.
Yep.
Now what about Softly and Tenderly?
I think this falls into that same category as the type of song that should and could be in there. I'd say moderately high to high. Very much a beautiful, comforting hymn. I'd say this one will be in there.
Okay. And then the first of the Sunday afternoon, but the last one that we'll talk about here, Come Rejoice.
Yes, that's in there already.
Already there. So what we're thinking, if we go back on it, Softly, Tenderly, His Eye on the Sparrow, and Amazing Grace. So that's only three of 12.
Yeah.
Even if all three.
Now here's the question. 3 of 12. We have more to speculate on. We'll do more speculation. So I think one of the things they've announced with the hymn book. Now, first of all, some of these may not be in the next 12. Like, you may not get Amazing Grace in the next 12, but I think there's a high chance that the reason they were in General Conference is because they will be showing up in these 12, but we'll see.
Yeah, 100. I would agree with that 100%, because will happen inevitably in a month's time as we record this. They'll go, His Eye on the Sparrow, you know, Jacob's Choice or whatever, you know, they'll have the 12 songs and people will go, what? I don't know what that is. And if they can go, oh, you remember it was that beautiful song in the afternoon from Sunday's session of General Conference. Listen to this. Or, we brought this back from the one from before. I think that is 100% what they were doing. And if it isn't, it's what they should have done, because what a great way to introduce the saints to these songs.
And just to bring up to everyone, if you don't know where to get your, find out about, there's a specific place under the music library on LDS.org, and you can go and you can see all the music that was performed at General Conference, and they call that out in the similar way they do talks. They actually have the separate just the videos of the Tabernacle Choir performs and other performances right there. So if you go into the music library, look under the General Conference music section, and you'll be able to pull all these up, so you can then speculate with us as we move on about that.
Okay.
The next set of speculation I think we should do, and we could go two ways. I think we could go classic Christian hymns, which I think we'll save for a future one as we get closer to May 30th. But I think the next one, to call out something new that is coming in the new hymn book. And one of the things they've announced is they are bringing in hymns, because we're not just an American church anymore.
Sure.
Or a Western church. We are a worldwide church. So they will be bringing in hymns from around the world, from different regions, and translating them into all the appropriate languages. But we're going to have hymns from South America that maybe we don't know here, that maybe people in Brazil or other places in South America might know. We don't. Somewhere in Asia, in India. India has everyone thinks of it as just a Hindu country. There's a strong Christian contingent there. And they probably have hymns or songs that are just homegrown there. So it'll be interesting to see. We'll start putting that one together. And so we'll start speculating on what's the worldwide hymns that might be making it in. So that's probably what we'll do next. And then we'll do kind of the classic Christian hymns that, we think should be in there or that we want to see in there. Right. So
I'm going to challenge you. I want to that international hymn episode 7. Is the challenge. 7 titles, 7 songs can be from wherever. We're going to get into that. That will be the next episode of the Hear Him.
We'll do that next week. We'll do it once a week, I think. Until the 30th.
Yeah. And then what are you thinking, like where we do our episode about Come Thou Fount? Are we just going to, we'll release those after we have the May 30th? So we can say, hey, now we're going to go through the 12 that actually were added. Is that
so? I'm thinking we do. We do one, and then we do Come Thou Fount, then we do a speculation, then we do Amazing Grace, then we do the Christian hymns, and that gets us to
All right. So that the next technical episode would be about Come Thou Fount.
Yep, absolutely.
So people look forward to that with the next Hear Him, and then after that, Andrew is going to cobble together a list of 7 international hymns that speculatively could be in our new hymnal, or at very least released.
And if you have thoughts on that, contact at theculturalhall.com. Let us know.
7 of them. That's a lot of work.
That is a lot of work. But I'll be in hotels. Sure. It'll be mean. I won't be watching Netflix at night before I go to bed. I'll be doing this.
You're going to have to make sure that you type them in right, so you don't find out that one of your 7 is in the hymnal already.
I know. I was, and I knew that. I just, anyway.
Whoa. It happens. Contact at theculturalhall.com. I suppose we end these like the other. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
And if you,
Oh, you're good. You got it. Come on. I got faith.
And if you are healthy enough to listen this week, you'll be healthy enough to listen next week.
And then when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. You know you didn't get it right, right? In the meantime,
we'll I made something up.
In the meantime, Chris at Alpine Lakes Travel, Rick McGee, Debbie Wanless, Chocolate Cake Bites Podcast, and the Tiger with a U will be saving a seat for you
on the back row
of the
Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row. We really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.